Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, August 14th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back veterinarian Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital for the latest edition of Pets and Vets. If you have a question about your dog, kitty cat, or other pet, give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can always email us at voxpop@wamc.org, but the number 800, you should probably just write this on the wall of your house. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is here. Your pet calls coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Pets and Vets today, and here to take your calls is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York. She is a graduate of Cornell University and joined the Del Mar Animal Hospital staff in 1998. Our number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Tweet us if you want at WAMC Vox Pop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. O'Loughlin, welcome back to the show.
Well, hello there, Ray.
How's summer been?
It's been interesting.
Yes, it sounds it. Do you want to share this, or is it not something to be shared?
No, that's okay. So the Del Mar Animal Hospital had a little interesting week. Last Wednesday, we got sort of hit by lightning.
Yikes.
The lightning strike took out the one of the poles next to us.
Yeah.
And took out our electric. What, we have a backup generator, and that kicked on.
Good.
Until it didn't.
Oh,
and
no.
It turned out there was power surging back and forth between our electrical panel and our generator. It burned out the generator.
Oh,
so, yeah.
It sounds expensive.
Yes. We came in Thursday. We had no power. And these days, being everything is electronic, our phones don't work.
Eesh.
Our computers don't work. We can't look up anyone's record. We can't do business.
So and what happened?
So we closed Thursday, and thankfully our very nice electricians came over and spent 12 hours replacing our electrical panel. So we were up and running the next day and playing catch up the rest of this week and dealing with insurance and all that good stuff.
And the pets who were overnight when the power went out at some time, presumably in the middle of the night, they were okay?
Well, I mean, it probably didn't bother them too much because it would have been dark anyway.
Right.
But it was a little freaked, and the one dog was a little freaked out in the morning when we came in, and it was still dark and there were no lights.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Everything's going to be all right.
But thankfully, we didn't have anybody. We don't keep anyone seriously ill in the hospital anyway, and they were just post-operative patients resting from their surgeries. And
oh, terrific. So things will be okay as soon as the insurance is ironed out,
yes.
whenever that may be.
Yes.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. Got two emails here prior to the show beginning. This one came in from Bonnie and Peter, and they write, a small hungry kitten just showed up on our deck. We've been trying with food to catch her, but she's too fast for us. We borrowed a have-a-heart trap really designed for woodchucks. She's so light she didn't set it off, maybe a half pound. Should we invest in an appropriate-sized trap, or do you have an alternative suggestion to achieve capture, followed by checkup and our adopting her? And that's from Bonnie and Peter.
Yeah, the little ones, I know, they make the have a heart trap ones for cat sizes. And I do know I volunteer with a feral spay neuter program, and we get some pretty small kittens in those. So
yeah.
I think maybe just a slightly lighter have a heart trap, because
okay.
It does sound like this kitten is probably feral and not going to just come up to them
right.
easily.
All right. This one came in from Gina, who writes, I just rescued a wonderful dog abandoned in the Midwest floods, approximate age 2. He's neutered, chipped, smart, and trained. He's a terrier hound mix, fairly active, 36 pounds. How much and how do you suggest I should feed him? Wet, dry, combo? He would eat all day if I let him. That's the first part of her question.
Okay. So whether to do wet or dry is sort of a personal choice. I think there are a lot of dogs out there that are just fine eating kibble. I've
right.
Never done much canned food with my dogs. In general, it's a cup of food for every 20 pounds of adult dog. And then you just have to adjust based on the dog's energy levels and their weight. You know, I always say it doesn't matter how much they weigh per se. It's, can you feel their ribs? Do they have a waistline? that's great. You don't want to see their ribs, or you don't want to feel all their bones in their back and their hips jutting out. Then they're too skinny.
So 36 pounds, maybe a little under two cups.
If it's very energetic, though, you could probably start with two cups and just make sure he's not getting chubby.
And then Gina also writes, is it true cats can eat dog food, but dogs shouldn't eat cat food? What's up with that?
Well, cats can't live on dog food. They need cat food because there are certain amino acids that they need to get.
Mm-hmm.
But they can eat dog food. The problem with dogs eating cat food is they get fat because it's just so dense compared to dog food.
Right. All right. And the number here is 800-348-2551. And let's jump right on the phones. And Ryan in Berkshire County. Ryan.
Hi. I have a question about my 2.5-year-old mackerel tabby cat. He has, I don't know if he's had it since birth, since we got him at 1 year and 3 months old, but he has like a bit of like discoloration around his eye sockets on his skin. It isn't like constant with his like coat. It's just a uniform, like light gray color. Doesn't have any sort of certain pattern. He isn't bothered by it. If I touch him around the eyes, it's not like he kind of reacts to it or backs away. There's no redness to it. There's no further discoloration. It's just one uniform color with like no rhyme or reason around the eye sockets on top of the eyes. And I'm just wondering if that's like a normal thing or if something to be worried about.
It's always been there since you've had him.
So here's the thing is I can't recall if I just like all of a sudden noticed it for the first time or if
It
hasn't gotten bigger since I've noticed it.
Yeah, it sounds to me like it's just a normal color variation in his coat. And if it's not changing...
It's on the skin. It's on the skin.
Yeah, and it could be, too. I mean, some cats... Now, is he... Did you say he's an orange kitty?
No, a mackerel tabby.
Okay.
So it's like a darker fur.
Okay. My guess is it's just some pigment in his skin, like you would have a freckle. I wouldn't worry about it. If it's not changing, it's not thickening, it's not raised, it's probably just a normal skin variation color.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets Today. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. Mark in Salem. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Ray. This is not about chickens.
All right, fair enough.
I have had probably over 100 cats in my lifetime, and I have a tuxedo black that I found in my barn, popped out. You know, his eyes hadn't changed color or anything, and I took him up to the vet, and they said, we can't do anything with him because he's too young. He's normal weight. And he has a good appetite, but in the morning when he eats, he vomits. I mean, he'll walk away from, and I try to give him just a little bit, so that he won't vomit. I've gone to, roast, the chicken that you get in the store. He gets that in the afternoon and he gets, dry food, treats mostly, and he doesn't vomit that. But in the morning, when I first feed him, he'll leave, and I don't give him much, he'll leave the dish, and then he'll vomit. Hmm. And I can't figure out what's going on with him. I mean, it's like, is he gobbling, or is it a structural thing? And I have to add that he's also very sensitive to being taken to the vet. When I take him to the vet, he acts like he's dead for 2 days.
So Mark, he's how old?
He's going on 4.
Okay. My guess is he's got a little touch of food sensitivity, and there may be some ingredient in that food that doesn't quite sit with him quite right. So the easiest thing to start with would be looking at the ingredients that are in your current food and going out and finding a food that has completely different ingredients and trying that.
That's why I went to the, you know, the chicken that you buy that's pre-roasted.
Right.
But
he can't live. He can't live on that. He needs cat food.
He gets the treats that have the the chemical that cats are supposed to have.
taurine.
Toluene.
Yeah, the taurine. Yep.
Taurine. And he gets some canned food, too. But the first thing in the morning is when he does the vomiting.
And it's dry food?
And after that,
it's dry food that he's vomiting?
No, it's whatever you give him.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, during the day, he's fine. Yeah. It's just like the first thing in the morning, he'll vomit.
Yeah.
So I hate to take him in because, as I said, he acts like he's been mortally wounded.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, I would try a different food in the morning and see if that helps. The other thing you could try is adding a probiotic. Sometimes that helps with these kitties with the sensitive stomachs.
Okay. Well, could you feed the cat yogurt?
You can. A little touch of yogurt.
Will they eat yogurt?
A lot of cats like it. Yep.
Oh, I'll be darned. Yeah. Our guest today is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. It's Pets and Vets Today, and the number is 800-348-2551. More of your calls coming up. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets Today, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital is our guest. And time for Darcy in Albany. Darcy, you're on.
Hi, I have an 11-year-old female tabby who has been an indoor-only cat for her whole life. But unfortunately, over the last 2 years, she has chronic diarrhea. She's gone to several vets with this problem. They changed her food. They did, like, stool samples, testing for parasites and bacteria. They did a GI panel, ear analysis, blood tests, CT scans to her abdomen. We went through, like, everything. And we really haven't found much luck trying to help her out. The only thing that really seemed to help was an antibiotic called metronidazole that she was on for, like, 4 months in a row. But when we eased up on the medication, the diarrhea would come back. She was just put on prednisone for a month, and that's a tapering, like, steroid. And once that dose finished, and it just did, everything's kind of come back, and she's got diarrhea again. Her doctor thinks she might have IBD, but I guess the only way that they can, like, diagnose that is to do exploratory surgery and a biopsy. And I was just wondering if you had any suggestions on any other kind of diagnosis this could be or testing we could do, because obviously I want the least invasive kind of treatment for my cat.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like you've done a pretty extensive workup, and unfortunately, I do agree the only true way to diagnose inflammatory bowel disease is with a biopsy. So I would have to say we rarely actually get biopsies done. We usually do it either through looking at blood work and ultrasound and trial and error with, you know, treatment. I wasn't quite clear. So the prednisone did clear it up while she was on it?
Honestly, the metronidazole did a much better job. The prednisone, like, made her poop a little bit, like, stiffer, but it wasn't, like, formed in logs. When she was on the metronidazole, she was, like, normal.
Okay.
When she was on the higher doses of that. But then as we tapered off and finished the dose, it would come back over the course of, like, a week.
Okay. You know, metronidazole is a great drug, and it's clearly, in my mind, she must have some sort of bacterial overgrowth in her intestine, maybe due to having inflammatory bowel. Has she been on probiotics?
Yeah, we were on Fortiflora for a bit with her, and it didn't really seem to make that much of a difference.
Okay. You know, these can be tough, I've got to say. I usually do a combination of things with these cats, of diet, potentially a round of the metronidazole and some probiotic. I often have them on probiotic long-term. And then prednisone, but, you know, as little as you can get away with and keep them somewhat normal. The other option would be to try adding some fiber to her diet. You can do pumpkin, or you can go to the good old Citracell or one of those.
Mm.
But pumpkin is the best if they'll eat it because it's a natural soluble fiber, and the colon really likes that, and it helps the colon to cells to get good and strong.
All right, Darcy, thanks for the call. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, our guest today on this Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. The number, 800-348-2551. Judy in Berkshire County. Judy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I recently inherited a relative's two cats. I had two of my own. These cats used to live with me, but were recently returned. One of them had been missing for two or three weeks, and so I got them in staggered doses. I noticed after getting them both that they're infested with fleas. So naturally, I had to treat them and mine. And what I used was the drops that go on the back of their neck called Vipranil.
Hmm.
And that was the that's the ingredient. Fipronil.
Oh, Fipronil.
Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay.
And since the day that I treated them, which was this past Sunday, and it hasn't seemed to work yet, the large Maine Coon, she used to be huge. She's half her weight. They both were skeletal when they came here, or when I got them back. She sleeps and lives in the litter box. Either of the litter boxes, and she won't get out except to eat. And I've seen her licking and eating some little pieces of litter from time to time. I can't really live on the toilet to watch her, make sure she doesn't come back in there or doesn't eat it. It's going to lead to problems. That stuff is going to turn to cement in her digestive tract, I would think. But why is she in the litter boxes? You have any ideas?
Well, I doubt it's the flea treatment. That basically is the active ingredient that is in Frontline, and it is not absorbed into the system, into the cat's bodies. It just lives on the outside of the skin, so it really shouldn't have any systemic effects on the cat. Unfortunately, it also isn't working so great for fleas anymore. Right. So, one thought might be to wait. If you treat them, you really only need to wait 3 or 4 days. You can treat them with another product, I would recommend that. As far as the cat in the litter box, there may be something else going on with this cat. I mean, that's a sign of a cat that just doesn't feel so well.
Yeah.
So I would just probably get it to the vet and have them check it out.
You don't think it's an allergic reaction to the flea medication?
No. If they're going to react to that, they usually get a raw spot where the product was put on, and they're often, scratching and licking at it. So I think there's probably something else going on systemically in that cat.
What's really odd is prior to Sunday, this cat wouldn't break body contact with me.
Hmm.
She was on me constantly. If I was sitting or laying down, she was on me, on my face, on my head, my lap.
As much fun as it is, you could try bathing her. With Dawn, and that will take
Dawn.
Yeah, it breaks the oil barrier in the skin, so it'll take the product off.
Interesting.
If there's any chance that it's bothering her, then that would be the way to get it off.
All right, Judy, thanks. Why just that one brand? I mean, have you tried other brands?
I'm sure there's other dish liquid that would work, but yeah.
I find that fascinating. All right, next caller is 800-348-2551. Jim in Schenectady. Jim, you're on.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
We are moving in about a month or so, and we have three cats. One is fine, and two are feral. The two feral cats, one is warming up to my wife a little bit after 3 years. The other one is nothing. How do we collect them to move them?
Well, since you've got a month,
what
you may be able to do is get them used to the whatever you're going to move, carrier or crate or whatever it is that you want to use to move them in. If it's a carrier, you can take the top off of it and just have the bottom there and make it into a feeding station so they get used to going in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually put the top on, get them used to going in with the top on. If it's a crate, you're going to do a small dog crate, which might be easier, you could just start feeding them in there, put their food in there, and just get them used to going in and out. And then on moving day, put the food in there and close the door. And then hopefully you can get them that way. That would probably be the easiest way besides, trying to throw a blanket over them and freak everybody out.
That's good advice. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
The other thing you could do is speak to your veterinarian and see if they can give you a little something for the day of the move. There's a medication called gabapentin that cats will often eat in cat food, and that'll calm them down. We use that for cats that have freaked out on vet visits and things, and it might settle them down for the day of the move, too.
Well, good luck, Jim. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is here. It's Pets and Vets Today. Sean and Afreda. Sean, you're on.
Hi. I had a question. We recently just bought a property with 100 acres, and we started letting our indoor cat, Ham, outside. And he's been gone for 2 weeks now. What can we do to try to lure him back or find him? Is this normal? I've heard that it's normal for them to do this sometimes, disappear.
Well, 2 weeks is a bit. I have found a lot of cats, 3 weeks is sort of the, if they're going to come back, they'll come back.
Really?
Between 2 and 3 weeks. Yeah. Things that you could try and do, put his litter box outside near the back door.
Okay.
So there's that odor.
Okay.
You know, put food out there to try and tempt them back. You might end up, you know, feeding some other local critters. But I have heard the litter box often can help to lure them back because it has their smell about it.
Okay, that's good to know.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, good
we
luck.
Haven't tried that yet.
I hope he comes home.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sean. 800-348-2551, the number. It's Pets and Vets Today. Carrie O'Loughlin, our guest. Deborah in Kingston. Deborah, you're on.
Oh, thank you. I have a 14-and-a-half-year-old cat who does have cancer. She has a tumor. We've been giving her a substance and running into the other room to get the name of it that is supposedly going to help her organs get the blood. It's dip cell stasis in the place of blood. But just within the past 2 days, she has cut way down on her eating. As a matter of fact, I don't think she's eaten at all. And she is losing weight. She's still purring. She's still wanting companionship. But she is listless. Do I need to take her to the vet?
Well, where is this tumor?
Near her lung.
Oh, all right.
It can't be excised.
Okay. All right. So she's basically hospice at this point.
Yeah.
You're just trying
to
keep her comfortable. Yeah. So a couple of things. You could try an appetite stimulant. They make an appetite stimulant for cats called mirtazapine. And it comes as an oral form, but it also comes as a rub-on gel that you put on their ear. So you don't have to try and stuff things down them if they're not taking food. And that will
I can get from my druggist or from a pet food store?
You get it from your veterinarian.
Okay.
Yep. And then, if that doesn't work, unfortunately, that can be a sign of sort of the end stage. Now, we went to a talk with a hospice doctor a while ago, and she said, not eating by itself doesn't mean it's time to put the cat to sleep as long as she's still interactive. But, she said pretty much anyone dying eventually is going to stop eating. And, it does mean the end is near. But as long as she's otherwise interacting and acting like she feels okay, you've got a little bit of time with her. But it may be near if you can't stimulate
her. We're very okay. But she's not necessarily so uncomfortable at this point.
Right. Right.
I may have a couple of days left or maybe even a week.
Exactly.
Well, I'm sorry, Deborah. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, but the mirtazapine often will spark them up a little bit for a short term. So
over to Liz in Springfield. Liz, you're up.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I adopted a black lab mix about a year and a half ago. He's a great dog. And right before he was sent home to us, he was treated for heartworm. And that's fine, we're maintaining it. But bringing him to the vet is like the worst thing ever. He's fine going in. He is great until he sees anyone dressed as a vet, and then becomes super aggressive. Our vet is afraid of him, I'm pretty sure. So we do have a new vet. We have an appointment coming up in a month, and we've right now our current vet sedates him, which is really traumatic for everyone involved because He doesn't like to be touched by the vet. Then he fights the sedation. He's on a really high dose of sedation. And there's always a possibility that, you know, might not work out. But it's horrible to watch him fight the sedation. Last time it was like about an hour before he kind of was groggy enough. So we've also tried the muzzle, and he panics in the muzzle and hyperventilates. So I know that a lot of things I've read online is like, oh, behavioral training and bring him and things like that. But we took him to vet puppy classes and stuff, and that person, the trainer there, just didn't seem super hopeful that he would change, and I wasn't sure if you had any recommendations. He also was on anxiety meds, which made him scary. Like, he's fine with my husband and our family generally, but on the anxiety med, he tried to bite me, so that was a little scary. So I'm trying to figure out how to help my dog be comfortable.
Wow. Your dog isn't named Cujo by any chance?
No, Angus.
Okay, fair enough.
A couple of thoughts. One is you could consider looking into a house call vet, having someone come
to
the house. Another option would be, we often have people pre-treat the dogs at home with a combination of an anti-anxiety and a light sedative, so that they come in a calm state.
Oh, that's a good
and they're
idea.
Less likely to get wound up once they get to the hospital. Now,
I think that's what we were trying with the, I can't remember, he was on like a benzo, and we put it beforehand and everything, and it made him more aggressive. Like, he wouldn't even go into the veterinary office once he was on anxiety meds, and they were thinking that he knows it makes his body feel funny, so then he's more on guard, maybe.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I know, it's a tough one. I guess maybe the best thing would be to look into a house call vet and try that.
Oh, I'm sorry,
okay.
Liz.
That's I don't have any other great miracles for you.
So what do you do in a situation like that where a dog gets very aggressive in the shop?
Sometimes we can't do anything with them. We've had a couple of dogs that even with medication on board, they just go ballistic.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't use tranquilizer darts from a distance?
Well, you can. You can do things like, you kind of squeeze them behind a door so that they're behind the door and you can get to their rear end and give them some. But it's stressful for them. It's stressful for us. And, you know, sometimes we say, you know, unfortunately, in cases like this, we'll get a rabies shot into him. And if he's not really sick, he doesn't see a vet very often.
That would not be a good day at the office for you.
Yeah, no.
Does it happen often?
Thankfully, not too often. But,
is this why vets drink? All right, over to Barbara in Portsmouth. Barbara, are you in Portsmouth, New Hampshire?
Actually, I'm driving by, and I heard your show. And I have a question. I've been looking for natural foods for my dog. He's about 2.5 years old, weighs about 70 pounds. And I've noticed some of them have blueberries in them, and I thought that dogs weren't supposed to eat blueberries.
No, not that I'm aware of. Some dogs can't do grapes because it's an individual issue where it can cause a kidney failure.
Huh.
But I've not heard any bad things about blueberries. And there are a lot of blueberries in dog food, in certain dog foods. I've seen that as well.
I did not know.
Oh, there are. Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yep. So
right.
I think blueberries are on the okay list.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. And, of course, Portsmouth, very near blueberry country.
Yes.
So
yes.
There you go. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. Pets at Vets, home stretch on the way. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's 800-348-2551 if you want to call in. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital is our guest today. They have power again. Everything's fine. It's a paperwork issue now. Over to Anna in Woodstock. You're on.
Hi, yes, thanks for taking my call. I have a kitty who is from a hoarding situation. He is incredibly aggressive when it comes to being pet. It's like he wants you to pet him, and then the second you stop, he bites or scratches you. And it kind of makes me not want to pet him. So I'm not sure. I don't want to be afraid of my own cat.
So this is actually not an uncommon thing for some cats. And it probably has nothing to do with him coming from a hoarding situation. It's just sort of his personality. Some cats get really revved up by being pet in a certain way. So the one thing that you want to avoid is petting him like full body pet all the way down his back. That tends to like, it's like sending an electric shock up them. It really gets them wound up. The best thing sometimes to do is let him pet himself. So you kind of put your hand out or your finger out and let him rub up against it. And watch his body language. If his tail starts to twitch or his eyes start to get a little dilated, it is time to stop, you know, because then he's just getting wound up. So sometimes it's a little bit goes a long way, and let him sort of call the shots and let him rub up against you rather than you rubbing him. And you may get less of the biting that way.
Thank you.
We had a cat at the office that we had a rub stick. It was just this plastic. It was a toy that broke, and you'd hold that stick and she would rub her face all over that. It just made her happy as could be. And then you were an arm's length away from her. So it was great.
Oh, smart. Anna, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And let's see now. Who has been waiting the longest? 800-348-2551. Louise in Wurtsboro. Louise, you're on. We're not? Hello? I'll give her a second. Hello, Louise. All right. You picked a fine time to leave me, Louise. Let's go to Jeff in Craigsmore. Jeff, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I rescued a kitten in 2012 out of the Bashakill. And he has constant runny nose. It's worse in the wintertime than in the summertime. And he has a little film over his left eye. The vet hasn't been able to find anything to address it, and I was wondering what you thought.
Okay.
He sees perfectly because he's a great hunter, constantly bringing me mice or frogs or snakes or things. He doesn't always kill them, but he brings them and drops them in the living room.
All right, we're going to turn you down a little bit, Jeff, because you have a pretty bad hum on the line. I suggest that there may be a ground issue at work there. Doctor.
So cats can certainly have chronic sinusitis, which would be the most likely culprit. It tends to almost be more of an allergic thing after a while than an infection. So often anti-inflammatories will help. I actually have had some good luck using a drug called Serenia, which is actually made for nausea, but it seems to have some anti-inflammatory effects. And I often treat these cats. Most average-sized cats take a quarter of a tablet. You do it once a day for 4 days and then twice a week. And I've had some of these chronic runny nose kitties get much better on it.
What about the film over one of the eyes?
That, without seeing the eye, it'd be really hard to know. There are a lot of different things that could be. A scar to some chronic inflammation, it's hard to say.
It would not be allergies in this case?
Yeah, it could be, but probably not.
Okay, Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. And the audio quality on that one, not so good. You may want to look into that before your next call to the program. Lynn in Saratoga. Lynn, you're on.
Hi, Ray and Dr. O'Loughlin. I just had two quick comments. The gentleman that said they moved to a property with 100 acres and now they let the kitty go outside and he's been missing for 2 weeks. I really liked your suggestions. And I was just wondering, do kitties ever just seek to go back to their prior residence? Maybe they should take a look at looking for him there, wherever they moved from.
I have seen cats do that, although it sounds like the cat was an indoor cat previously, so it might be a little hard for it to try and find its way home when it wasn't going out, but it's not unheard of.
I
had one cat.
I've heard more.
Yeah, I knew one cat when I worked in Cobleskill that made the trip from Richmondville to Cobleskill, which was a pretty good trek.
That's a good run.
Every summer. They got to the point where the people in the old house would call and say, he's back, come and get him. And
that's amazing. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good. The other one was the gentleman that's getting ready to move and had the two feral cats and one other regular cat talking about how to transport them. It's just my experience when we go to the vet or for anything that I have to take them in the car, the pheromone spray, the feel-away
I do
a half hour before I put them in their carriers or even getting them when a new one has come into the house, just spraying the carpet or using the dispensers that kind of put it into the air. I've had good luck with that, so I don't know if that would work with feral cats.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't hurt. Feel away is great stuff.
Yeah, I think so too. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. 800-348-2551. This email came in from Joan in Longmeadow, and Joan writes, in January, my husband and I adopted a 10-month-old spayed Great Pyrenees Labrador Retriever mix. She is now the solo dog in a household with two adults, but she loves playing with other dogs, and we had always planned on adopting a second dog. How long would you suggest we wait to bring another dog home? I want her primary bond to be with us, not another dog. And when we do, what should we consider regarding gender, age, and breed? Our dog in residence is lean, but very tall. And that's from Joan in Longmeadow.
She's had the dog for how long?
I just recycled it.
Sorry.
Hang on. That's
sorry.
All right. I'll get it. That's okay, here it is. In January, they adopted a 10-month-old.
It sounds like the dog would be pretty happy with just about any dog if it likes to play with other
dogs.
But
is it too soon? They want the dog to bond with them first.
I guess that depends on the dog. It's been, 8 months. That's a pretty long time.
Yeah, it's a good run.
We got a puppy and got a second puppy when the first one was 7 months old. And
how many puppies do you have? How many dogs do you have?
Two. Just those two.
Any cats?
Three. We're down to three.
How about the fish?
Lots of fish.
Still lots of fish.
Frogs,
go for the fish?
Lots of frogs. Counted 11 frogs in the pond the other day.
Our neighbors have had an outdoor fish pond, the koi fish. Kitty cat. They didn't last long. Let's put it that way.
The cats don't bother the fish. They get the occasional frog.
Ah, really?
My husband picked his lunchbox up off the kitchen floor the other day to put his lunch together, and there's a frog sitting on the top of it.
Oh, terrific.
Hello.
All right, over to Beth in East Hampton. Beth, you're on.
Hi, thanks. Good afternoon. Right. I'm calling with two little things. I have a cat that has, she's an old cat. She's about 16. She, for a number of years now, has had very clustered, smallish, purpley lumps in her ears. And a vet told me it was ceruminous adenoma. She gave me a printout on it and said there was nothing you could really do except laser surgery. But it itches her multiple times in the day. And I wonder, is there anything I can do to help the itching?
Yeah, I have heard, and your vet was correct, those are little adenomas from the wax glands in the ears. Sometimes using some cortisone drops in the ear will help, if nothing else for the itch. And it sometimes will at least keep more of those from cropping up.
Mm.
So you could ask about, and we used to have a great cortisone drop for the ear that's no longer on the market.
Why?
I don't know. Mm. It's just the company got tired of making it, I guess. Okay. So I have known people to sometimes use eye drops in the ear. There's some cortisone eye drops. So,
really?
And I often will sometimes just make up some ear drops with a little cortisone for these guys.
What kind of strength are you talking about for cortisone?
It's a pretty low, usually like a 1%, something like that.
Okay, and then that wouldn't be harmful otherwise.
No, over time it does weaken the skin, but in a 16-year-old cat who's got really itchy ears, it
probably helps.
Yeah,
probably help it. And you don't necessarily have to use it every day. Just a couple times a week, to settle it down.
Okay.
All right, Beth.
Okay.
Thank you.
One more thing.
Sure.
Sorry. I have another cat who's about six. She's 17 pounds and not fat. She's just big. I'm wondering if there's any kind of sedative type of something I could give to her at home so that I'm allowed to cut her claws. She will not let me. She bites when I try to.
Yeah. You could ask your vet about getting some gabapentin.
Gabapentin.
Oh. Gabapentin. Yep. It's actually a pain reliever that has some sedating effects, and cats will often readily, it comes in a capsule and you just open the capsule and sprinkle it on the food. And we'll often use that for anxiety inducing things in cats, and it might settle her down enough to let you get the toenails done.
Uh-huh. How much is that, being a 17-pound cat, does that vary for how much she would get?
No, usually the smallest capsules are 100 milligrams, and that's usually a pretty hefty dose for a basic cat. So I think for a 17-pounder, it'd probably be just about right.
All right, Beth, thanks for the call. And now to Dale in Hinsdale. Dale, you're on.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I have about a 7-year-old cat. She's always been indoors, and she's constantly licking, over-grooming to the point where it's not digesting. She'll eat, and then she throws up.
Oh, yeah.
And this was making her always hungry. I've recently changed her over to this meal, Raw, this company called Raw, which supposedly is natural organic food. One's freeze-dried, and the other ones are frozen. But it's got me nervous because I can't keep her from always licking.
Right.
Constantly licking.
Well, between the licking and the vomiting, it sounds like she could have some allergies. And so you might want to, check with your vet about that. Have them look at the skin, see if there's anything, going on with the skin itself. And then depending on whether it's seasonal, non-seasonal, they can talk to you about either seasonal allergies being outside stuff, or non-seasonal tends to be more food related.
Yeah. And they could come on at any time, right?
Yes. Yes. The seasonal tends to come on younger in life, but, 7-8 is pushing it, but not unheard of. But food allergies can show up anytime.
Can they go away on their own?
Only if you get rid of the allergens.
I've read it could be possibly anxieties. And if it is anxieties, how can I relieve her of some of that?
Right. So it's less likely to be anxiety, but it's not completely out of the realm. You could try things like getting feel away diffusers for your house. And is the kitty indoor?
She's always constantly full time indoors. She's never been outside.
You can look at the Ohio State Indoor Cat Initiative. It's on the Ohio. If you put in Ohio State Indoor Cat, it'll come up.
All right.
And it's the vet school website, and they have a whole list of things to make the indoor kitty as happy as possible.
Okay, Dale, thanks so much for the call. Over to Leslie in Shelburne Falls. Leslie.
Hi. I'm calling because I have a business making mobility carts for dogs with disabilities, and half of my business are dogs with degenerative myelopathy, which is a genetic disease similar to ALS. And I'm wondering what kind of advice you have for owners who are noticing their dogs having mobility issues and whether you recommend the genetic test.
Okay.
Well, certainly if you are thinking this could be the degenerative myelopathy, yes, we will often, run that test if people want to know for sure. And it's, they're saying now with degenerative myelopathy, actually, exercise is one of the best things for the dogs to try and keep their mobility
absolutely.
As much as possible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a cart is fine when they get to the point where they can't get around. But until they need that, definitely getting them out and keeping them moving, keeping those nerve, So degenerative myelopathy basically is the cells in the spinal cord start to die off.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dog is just losing nerve connection
right.
to their back end. It's very sad and not a whole lot we can do about it, but you can slow things down with more exercise.
Leslie, thanks a lot for the call. Now it's to Tom in Saratoga. Tom, you're on.
Thank you for my call, taking the call. I have two Portuguese water dogs. One of them is 1.5 years. One of them is 2.5. And the older one is starting to itch more. And I brought him to the vet, and I've done oatmeal baths and stuff like that. they don't have fleas or anything like that. It's just, is there anything else I can do that's natural to put in their food to make them stop itching?
Not that I can think of. I mean, this is most likely an allergy, and that is, you know, the dog is at a, unfortunately, perfect age to develop, you know, allergies. I suppose, I mean, I don't know that this would work, but I know in some people they say local raw honey, which has the pollens in it, will sometimes help. Yeah. You're basically trying to desensitize them. But other than that, I honestly can't. And bathing them, bathing is natural. You want to try and decrease their exposure to the allergen. So you can bathe them 2-3 times a week if you need to.
Benadryl or something like that, not a good idea?
Well, it's not natural.
Oh, you make a point.
So if he's looking for a natural.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot for that one. Now we quickly go over to Janet in Albany. Janet, you're on.
Yes, I was calling to find out. I have a 5-year-old cat that's constantly licking me all the time. Well, and I was wondering if there was a reason for that.
Are you well seasoned?
I don't know if it's because of the salt or what.
Ah.
Yeah, it may be. I have one of my cats who likes to lick a lot more than my other cats. I think they're grooming. I mean, she licks our Labrador as well. They get along really well, and it's kind of a social thing, so she's being social with you. And she may also just really like the way your skin tastes.
There you
I think she's probably it's probably more her way of being a friendly social critter. That's what they do. They'll groom each other. So
okay.
She's just trying to be nice
and
groom.
I just never had that experience.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the call, Janet. You know, it occurred to me the other day that if cats were about half our size, we would all be dead. Cats would eat us all, right? Am I wrong?
They would be the boss, that's
we're
for sure.
Very tasty we are, I'm sure. Well, I guess that's about it for the program today. If people want to find out more about the Del Mar Animal Hospital, how do they do that?
They can look at delmaranimalhospital.com.
Yeah, and the website's up, even with the power issues?
Yes, website is up. We're also on Facebook and Instagram now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yo, I'll have to follow you on Instagram.
Yep.
It's very exciting. We're watching, there's a cat channel on on Pluto TV, which is like a plug-in on the Roku. Sat there for about 3 hours with a couple of my daughters
watching cat videos.
Yeah. I'll tell you, they get very... You have dogs and cats, right?
Yes.
Cats will swat at dogs, and dogs are being much bigger mostly. Don't do anything about it. What's up with that?
Cats are the boss.
But the dogs, don't they know they're a lot bigger and could do some damage?
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
Our dog will chase our cats, so our cats know to avoid the one dog.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Our number, if you want to call tomorrow, and tomorrow's the Science Forum, 800-348-2551. It'll be a full house of scientists. That'll be tomorrow at 2. Support comes from Nine Pin Cider Works Albany, featuring hard cider made from local apples, now serving pizza, light fare, beer, wine, and spirits in tasting room, open Tuesday through Sunday, ninepincider.com. And Saratoga Jewish Cultural Festival, presenting Jewish stand-up comic Robert Kate, August 20th, 7 p.m. at Saratoga Chabad, saratogajewishculturalfestival.org. Well, thanks again to Carrie O'Loughlin for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones were answered by two people today. Dina Salzman started, and then she left because she was disgusted with the way the show went, and I'm sorry, Dina. And then Amber Sickles took over, and she made it through the whole show. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff, and as I mentioned, tomorrow at 2 p.m., it's the Science Forum. If you have a question about anything to do with science, call, and, you know, it's 50-50. They may have the answer. Stand by now for 51%.